So normally I don't rely so much on notes, but I heard about, I found out that I was giving this talk like about 3 days ago, and then right after that we were working till midnight on the books that we handed out yesterday, so I actually didn't get a chance to prepare until this morning. So I'm going to use my notes a lot more than usual. What Geshe wanted me to talk about how we're preparing for the retreaters to come out of retreat, and so you got a good idea from the previous talks from Nicole and Scott about what's been going on outside of the retreat, what Geshe has been doing all over the world with DCI, and also what our plans are for Diamond Mountain in the future, in the very, very near future. But there's the third thing is that there's the retreaters. And these are people who we were all classmates together for 7 years. And so, sorry, we're very close to them. When they went into retreat, I didn't have any friends out. I just like, you know, it was like, bam, they're all gone. All my entire support system went into that retreat. And so I became their support system in some ways. I'm the one who sends out, I send out notices when your credit card expires. And we've organized a system of guardian angels to help sponsor them. But actually, Scott said I was going to talk about fundraising, but that's not really what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about how what we've set up as a support system for the people who are coming out. So let's see. Oh, thank you. I'm hoping I won't need it. So with all the expansion with DCI in particular, what we studied at Diamond Mountain University has been sort of transformed into a universal, non-denominational practice for making your life, turning your life into a paradise, basically. And so that took off, and people, Geshe has been all over the world teaching it, and a lot of people have gone with him. A number of the people here have gone with him or have been the people that he went to. He's saying, and I think it's true, that he figures it's the biggest Dharma organization, the biggest Buddhist-based Dharma organization in the world now, our sort of family of what do you call, Dharma groups, Dharma endeavors. So those people are, it's like a huge family now. And it's like the retreat here, probably about a third of the funding is coming from Taiwan people who have never even met these people. And it's all very much interlaced, and it's really sweet. There's all these people all over the place who don't know each other, but they're all united working together. So now we're creating this thing here, this retreat valley, and it's a place where people can come, and all these people who, when they need to do retreat, they'll have a place to come. Meanwhile, the retreaters are coming out, so that's my area of expertise. I think there was about, the graduating class was about 130 or something like that, and about a third of them, or maybe a quarter, it was more like a third, went into retreat. So that's a good percentage of the graduating class of Diamond Mountain University went into that retreat. And so a lot of them, a lot of the other people have done things you've seen, amazing things, but you haven't, most of you, many of you have, but most of you haven't seen the results of the retreat. And that's all going to come out in April, and you'll see what they've become, which is they've become quite amazing. And so you might not know them, but you will know them, and you'll like them, I guarantee. So now, before they come out, they need help, and you don't know them yet, but they're going to be your friends, and so you're going to want to help them. So I just wanted, I've done long retreat here. I was in retreat before Diamond Mountain University started. I was in retreat in the garage of the Lama House for almost a year by myself. So I know, I have an idea of what their experience is. And what it's like is, I wrote some words down so I would remember. It's the place itself, it's isolated, it's quiet, it's beautiful, it's expansive. You go up there, and especially you climb to the top of the mountains, and you just see sky and nothing, just, it's just hills, and so your mind expands, your heart opens, just being there. And my experience when I first went up there, when I first started retreat, because they kind of put me into the garage, and then they said, okay, don't come out. And and then they went away, and sometimes they were gone for weeks. You know, Earl, actually, one of the retreaters who's going to talk today, I think, you're going to love him. He was my caretaker, and so he brought me a lunch bucket every day. And that was the extent of my contact with the outside world, pretty much. And at first it's really kind of scary, because there you are and you're surrounded, you're not used to being in the wilderness, and you're not used to the animals that are there, and they're not used to you. And you know there's a lot of people coming up from Mexico and places like that coming through on the wash. And you don't know what they're like and whether they're going to, you know, what if I run into them, or, you know, what if they have, it's just you don't know. And even just the idea of, like, walking in the wilderness by myself, what if I step on a snake kind of stuff? Or what if I break my ankle while I'm hiking, you know? Because when you're in retreat, you kind of need to get exercise. So it's, I was told I had to hike every day, and I did. And so there's all these fears, and gradually you get used to your environment. You kind of, you know, your body gets stronger, you start to get used to the silence, and you start getting used to not having stimulation, and you start, and what happens is that your mind quiets, and you start to appreciate what's there, and you start to notice what's there, and there's this amazing transformation that happens, which you're not even aware of. But one of the most obvious things, and the most amazing things, is that the animals start coming out of the woods, and just they come up to you, and they're not afraid of you, and they introduce themselves. Like, and it's the most amazing thing, and you wouldn't believe it if you didn't experience it. But like one time, I was there and I was meditating, and I was really, you know, if you don't see a human face for a long time, you start getting a little bit slightly depressed. And so I was feeling kind of down. And I was meditating. Then I got up, I finished, and then I heard something scratching on the door. And I went to open the door, and there was a skunk sitting there. And he was like this, like a little dog begging, and I couldn't believe it, you know. How did he even know I was there, you know? And then here's the other thing that was amazing about it. He had a bald spot. I swear to God. And I thought, God, you know. But, you know, this kind of thing happens when you're in retreat. That never, never, never happens when you're not in retreat. And then the other thing that happens within your mind is that you start to reevaluate your life and your experiences, and you kind of shed a different light, a new light on everything you've ever learned and everything you've ever experienced. You kind of just take it all out and shake it out and look at it again and reassemble it in a way that is new and amazing, because you're not influenced by other people's ideas or thoughts. So what happens is that you kind of recreate your world in a much more useful way, you know, more creative way. And then you start coming up with all these amazing ideas for what you're going to do. And it's just, you know, so that's how they are right now. They're like, they're just brimming with ideas and inspiration, and they just want to, they want to get out and do something for the world. But you see, they're in this space right now where they're very, very vulnerable because they've been quiet, they've been alone, and they haven't been experiencing, you know, they haven't been around. If you're around other people, then your mind becomes touched by their minds, and you get a certain amount of... You become sensitive to their emotions, and even their thoughts affect you, and even just the... it's almost like electric charge or the magnetic vibration of their... I'm sure there's some kind of physiological thing that, on an electrical level, where they're imposing on yours. You know, they're touching you somehow, and it affects you, and you're not aware of it. Even, actually, another thing, which is nice, they have solar up there, because even if you have electricity running through the wires, the AC, the current goes like this. It's alternating current, and that has an effect, and you'll never notice it if you don't live in a place that doesn't have it, which most of us never have. But once you get away from all that, there's a stillness that descends. So now they need to get to the point. In 6 months, they're going to be coming out, and they're going to be re-exposed and having to get used to all of that again and maintain their inspiration for how they're going to serve the world. So that's where all of us come in. And so that's why it's not a fundraising talk, because, I mean, some of us have funds and that's what we can offer, but most of us have, you know, we have intelligence and we have life and we have good hearts and we have places to live and stuff like that. And so those are really what they need at this point. So let's see. I should talk about... I kind of did a little bit. When I came out of retreat, I was up in the garage, and I didn't move very far. I moved down to the Anigompa, but it was the caretaker house at the time, and people were there, and I wasn't used to being around people. And so I kind of just stayed in my room, and I admitted to Geshe-la a couple of days ago that I actually spent 2 weeks watching videos in my room. That was what I did. And just because I wasn't... It was hard to be around people, and so that's what, you know, you don't really know what people are going to want to do when they come out of retreat. It wasn't really what I wanted to, but they were there, and I didn't want to go out of my room, so, you know, that was what I did for pretty much for 2 weeks. Let's see. So these people are a little bit different. They're used to being around each other, but each other is also very quiet and very, you know, their minds are in a similar state. So it's going to be maybe hard for them to adjust to being around people like us. So let's see. I can't remember if anyone talked about what's happening. Did anyone talk about what's happening on the 4th of April? Okay, I'll just cover that a little bit. So on April 4th, we're going to have a coming out party for the retreaters. And Geshe-la is going to teach Abhidharma, which he hasn't explicitly taught that before. He's going to start. He translated it in when he was in his 20s. And he's used it for some of the ACI courses, his translation, but he's never actually taught the whole thing. And Abhidharma is this like amazing encyclopedia compendium of... It's kind of like the encyclopedia that was written in 350 AD. And it's like, this is how the world works, you know, and it's really kind of cool. Because a lot of what they were interested in is how does karma work, you know, or what are the classifications of beings in the universes, and things like that. So it's very interesting, and a lot of, it's a good deal of what's taught in the monasteries. So he's teaching that. And so we also, we're trying to come up with a program to reintegrate the retreaters, who, as you need to remember, will be in a very fragile state, very open. And so what we're trying to do, we're going to have like a 10-day program. And one of the first things we need is for people to help reintegrate people, teach them. So let me start my list. So I think I put funding first. That's it's expensive to run a retreat. Diamond Mountain is, we're in the red just almost every month. So that means our resources are slowly going down. We have enough to keep them in until the end of the retreat. But after the end of the retreat, we were hoping to give them, get some kind of sponsorship to give them a little bit of a boost, so that we don't just park them on the corner in Tucson with $50 and a bus ticket. We were hoping to avoid that. So that's one thing we do need. If anybody wants, if anyone needs to make a contribution to, so they get a tax deduction in next year, you know, it's the end of the year now, maybe this might be something you might consider, Diamond Mountain, to the retreat fund. So then the other thing is that the retreaters, they've been told that the people who are coming in April are going to stay in their cabins with them. And I think that's a little scary for them, but they're getting used to the idea. And so they're going to have to feed the people who are staying with them. And so that's another, these are all just things you can contribute to financially. And then we're going to get to everything else in a second. But I know there are people, or you might know people who would like to help, and so that's always something that we can use help with. The other thing, actually, now that I'm mentioning it, we have this system of guardian angels. Each retreater has a guardian angel that has been assigned to them. They don't know it. I don't think they know it. Who is fundraising for that particular retreater, and some of them don't have a lot of. You know, like there's one of them is living in South Africa, and the dollar to rand rate is very bad, and he doesn't know anybody. So, you know, some of them are having a hard time. So if anybody wants to help be like an auxiliary guardian angel, come and tell me, and I'll set you up. That would be fantastic. Let's see. Okay, so that's enough with fundraising. So we're setting up a reentry team. And so this is what we're looking for volunteers. First of all, when they come out, we want everybody to get a medical checkup. Obviously, we can't afford that. So if anybody is in the medical profession or wants to help with that kind of thing, or if you want to contribute to that fund, then that's one thing you can do. Actually, I have a sign-up sheet here. If you want to just pass them in every direction, then people can pass them back. So it's I have a check sheet here, and there's also an online questionnaire that you can check, you know, mark it up, and the URL is on there, and so either fill this one out and hand it back to me, or do the one online. So also dental checkups, if anyone is or knows or has access to a dentist who'd like to come and help, that would be amazing. We don't really want to just, you know, they've been in there for 3 years and they haven't had regular checkups. And some of them are, you know, like they might have something that they've been living with, but it isn't very pleasant. I think a number of them have like cavities that they've been kind of ignoring for a while. So that's also something we want to provide for them before they leave. Then the other thing is we want to do some kind of reentry counseling. So we're looking for people who have psychological background or Dharma background. And, you know, it's not going to be mandatory by any means for the retreaters, but if they want to talk to somebody as they're coming out during the reentry time, we're looking for volunteers who can help with that. So if you know anyone who can help, that would be great. So then there's things that are a little bit more practical. And I think what we're going to end up having is probably a group of people here locally who are just helping with things. So we're going to need people to help people get passports. Because some of them are going to be traveling. They're all coming out. They're all prepared to, well, a lot of them are thinking about teaching. I think probably at least 2/3 of them are thinking that they're going to be teaching, and they're well prepared for it. So they're going to need passports. They're going to need, everybody's going to need, most of them, unless they stay as staff, they're going to need to be going somewhere after the retreat. So if anyone has airplane miles, or if you, if you're going somewhere and you can drive someone, I think a lot of them have a lot of stuff, but we don't know really. I think some of them are getting moving vans, and some of them are leaving all their stuff and everything in between. But so we could use help with that too. Airline miles, bus tickets, car rides, your secondhand vehicle that you don't want anymore, stuff like that. Here's one that I think maybe it might actually be really nice. I think I'm going to volunteer for this one. But there's we're trying to set up, and we've sent a questionnaire into them also about what would you like to do, where would you like to go, and what are your thoughts for after the retreat, just to get them to start thinking about it. So if you have a place where people could stay, like for instance, I have a house with 2 bedrooms. And it's kind of remote, and I would be really happy to have one of them come and stay with me for 3 months while they get used to being in the world. And we're looking for people who can do that. So we probably need about 25, or maybe about 25 people who'd be willing to do that or happy to do it in different parts of the world. And the benefit is that your job is to help them get reintegrated in society, maybe help them get a job, help them find a place to live. And what you get out of it is that you get these people who are fresh from retreat, and their minds are like newborn babies that are newborn baby Buddhas, kind of, you know, come to live with you. And, you know, that sounds pretty good to me. So if you want to provide that, there's a check place for that. Most of them are going to need, most are going to need laptops and cell phones. So if anyone has leftover laptops, cell phones that they're not using anymore, things like that, those could be donated. Then we're looking for, let's see. We're looking for people to help at Diamond Mountain as volunteer staff as well. And that's a lot of fun. You can ask the volunteers, the people who are like putting the food on the table and all that. Most of them come back every time and do it because it's fun. And it's like coming home for Thanksgiving or something, you know, and just being with your friends and helping with stuff. We had a party the night before the teaching started on Thursday night, because we were really, really, really late getting those Jorchu books together, and that's why there weren't quite enough of them. We printed them out on a printer in the back of the room there. And then we had 5 or 6 tables, and we had them all, each page was in a separate pile, and we had everybody in Diamond Mountain was helping collate them. And it was so much fun. It was really fun. And, that kind of thing is just, it's nice, you know, working with your friends, doing something that you enjoy doing, and you know, creating something beautiful. It's just, nothing could be better. So if you want to help working, volunteering, I'm sure they're going to need people who are builders and everything else. So if you want to help, then you can. Are you still you've talked to Venerable Chuki in the back there. Okay, so we need people to help the retreaters look for jobs, because a lot of them are, you get this point where you're bursting with inspiration, and then you need a you need to kind of funnel it. So they're going to need people to help them realize their ambitions. And we've also come up with questionnaires. That's on their questionnaire. What would you like to, ideally, what would you like to do now? And I think a lot of them are not going to be channeling back into, you know, working at McDonald's or the post office or something. But they'll be more likely to be doing something a little bit more creative and, you know, not the kind of job where you go every day and get a paycheck. So that kind of thing, that kind of a transition is a little bit scary. So if they might need people to help them with that. Or people who are in various fields who can mentor them. So there's a check mark for that. So a lot of them are going to be teaching ACI courses. And if you have a center, or if you would like to start a center, or if you'd like people to come and teach, this is the ideal time to find a teacher for your place. So let us know. Also with the Diamond Cutter Institute, a lot of them are really well qualified also to teach around the world with Geshe-la's Diamond Cutter Institute. So if you're interested, you are awake, okay. you can talk to Scott. I think he was up till like 1, so he's resting. What else? So then there's this new yoga learning project that's being started in Sacramento by these people here and other people there. And so Mark and Ami here, if you want to help with that, you could probably talk to them. Oh, wait a minute. It's the retreaters who are going to do it. You can, if you guys want to help, you can help too. I'm sure they'd love any kind of volunteer work or any kind of help. It's a new startup. But also, if you could help them, they're going to do I guess, what does he say here? Help support the Dharma Vocation. We're going to have a Dharma Vocational Festival, and they're going to be represented there. And so they'll be part of the re-entry package that gets thrown in their faces when they come out of retreat. I don't know. I think I've seen a couple of their houses, and they're so cozy. And I just my heart goes out to them. I could never leave those places. And they're going to come out, and they're going to be thrown into the cold, hard world. And it's going to be, they're going to need a lot of love. So then there's also another organization called My Life in Taiwan. And they're videos for television, yoga videos. And I think some of the retreaters are going to be doing that. Maybe that needs to be facilitated too. What? Is the battery out?
No, it should be good.
Yeah, I thought so. It was two bars. Out of the possible 3. Okay, let's see what else. So then, the other thing is that Geshe-la wanted to do like little workshops on various things that might be new as of when, before they went in. And when I came out of retreat, it was only a year, but when I came out, before I went in, this didn't exist. When I came out, everybody had a flash drive on a chain around their neck. Everybody in our group. And I was like, what the heck is that? You know, and how come I didn't get one, you know? And there's going to be more stuff like that because, you know, they've been in longer than I was. So they're going to need a little bit of reorientation on things that didn't exist when they went into retreat. So, and also maybe just possible ways to make a living. So we're looking for people who can help with workshops in the following things: resort management. Guess why? We're going to start a resort here. So if there's anyone who has expertise in running a resort or working in a resort, then this would be a good time to put on a little workshop. Massage therapy. It's turned out to be a really good, it's a nice activity for somebody who's a practitioner because you make your own hours and you can It's like a 6-month course, and after that you pretty much set, and you can make your own hours, and you can not work for a month if you need to do a retreat and stuff like that. So it's quite helpful as a job. Also, teaching yoga seems to be a good option there too, except perhaps there might be a glut of yoga teachers, so I'm not sure about that. But I think massage is still a good one. So if somebody, I'm looking at you, Nicole, could give a little workshop on how do you become a massage therapist and how do you get into school and, you know, what it all involves would be helpful. How to start a restaurant. These are all ideas that Geshe-la came up with. So if you think you could help people who might want to start a small restaurant, then that would be a good option. So these are all workshops that could be possible. Gardening. I think most of them are better gardeners than any of us at this point. But, you know, maybe there's other fields of gardening that they might like to learn about, because they're all self-taught at this point. We're trying to put together a Yoga Alliance certification course. And they want to teach it at Diamond Mountain during February and March of next year. And so we're looking for people who would like to teach a course like that or help teach a course like that. Let's see what else. Operating a yoga studio. I'm just going to read some of these because I don't really know that much about operating a yoga studio myself. But if you could do a 10-day or a 1-day workshop on that, that would be great. Website design, how to make a video. Some of them are pretty good at making videos, too. How to do a class online. This is something that this is also fairly new technology, which I am familiar with because I'm currently teaching an ACI course in Taiwan. When I'm in Arizona, the students are in Taiwan and the translator's in New York. And it's all done on the internet, and it's beautiful. It works out beautifully. The homework's on the board, and the translator points to things as we talk about them, and it's amazing. And I think if people could be introduced to that in a simple way, then it might open up a lot of possibilities. You know, where you could sit in a retreat hut somewhere and teach in Taiwan, or you know, it's kind of cool. Volunteering in a prison, that's you. You have to give that workshop. volunteering in a prison is something that they, you know, and these workshops are also open for everyone else. Don't think it's just the retreaters. So if you're interested in volunteering in the prison, then you could also come to this. Volunteering in a prison is really, really rewarding because you'll never run into people who are happier to see you than those prisoners. They're just like, anybody who comes in and does anything, it just makes them so happy. And they're all mostly really nice guys. I don't know, maybe they mellowed out after they've been in prison for a while, or I don't know, but they don't. None of them seem like the kind of person who do the kind of things that they, whatever they, I don't even know what they did, but, you know, that would put them in a place like that. So it seems, I mean, walking through all that razor wire and all that, it's a little bit daunting at first. But when you get to where they are, they're just so warm and welcoming that it makes it really, you know, you just feel so happy when you leave, you know, that you've brightened the day. And some of them, now where we are, they've started their own classes. And so two of the prisoners they want to become monks. Every time I go there, they're like, when are you going to ordain us? And, yeah, it's really, I don't know, it's amazing. They have a lot of time. They're like retreaters. They have time to think about it. So we'll probably have some kind of a handle for the retreatants to get involved with that, and also for anyone else who's interested. Writing a book. They're already writing books, let me tell you. I'm the one who provides them, or I'm one of the ones who provide them with a lot of their materials. Like, all the old courses. Everybody asks for old courses that they haven't finished, and books and stuff like that. And a lot of them, you know, a lot of the courses were kind of like, you know, they were produced, but they were never polished. And so they're in there polishing this stuff. And a lot of them want to make books and are making books or have already made books. And so that kind of thing, publication, maybe, yeah, you could maybe do a workshop on how to publish your books. How to write a screenplay, that might be interesting. That's not something I'm familiar with, but I know people here are. How to make a CD, a music CD. A lot of them already know that one, too. You'll see. How to publish things online. There's ways online of publishing something without going through a publisher. Just like, you know, like Kindle, for example. And with music, there's similar things. And that kind of skill. Teach that kind of skill. We just kind of brainstormed what kind of things would we need to know. And a lot of this came from Geshe-la because he has an idea of what kind of things you feel rusty on when you come out of retreat. Social networking. I don't. They might be ready for that. I don't know. So if you want to get people to, you know, help people get up to speed. He says Facebook. They know about Facebook. Meetup, he says. And there's a lot of other social networks now that people might want to do. Then there's also a new thing that I don't think people in the retreat have been too familiar with is crowdfunding. Was it crowdsourcing? Crowdsourcing, crowdfunding online, which we started doing a little bit with medical needs. Like Venerable Phil's cataract surgery, we did a really successful online 3-day fundraising and other things like that. We have some students have had medical problems that we've been able to help with, but also for startups, you know, but business startups, and that's really helpful for someone coming out of retreat because they might need a kind of a boost to get started in a business they might have in mind, and so. To get introduced to that sort of technology would be helpful. How to keep books for a small nonprofit. If anyone would like to teach the retreaters how to do that, I'd be most grateful. Because I think Diamond Mountain would be grateful. ACI would be grateful. DCI, everybody would be grateful if more of them learned how to keep books, because we're just scraping by right now. Except for, of course, Diamond Mountain is doing really well on that account. How to set up a nonprofit. So, you know, a lot of times people come out and they might have some idea they want to set up as a nonprofit. And that can be a little daunting, too, because there's all this legal stuff involved in it and the federal government is involved. And so I think probably... If anyone's really good at that, then they could maybe help with a workshop on those, which other people here also might like to attend. I probably would too. Chaplaincy certification programs. For things like prison chaplains or hospital chaplains, they have programs to train people, and a lot of our people coming out of retreat might be really good at that. So that's another, if anyone has that kind of a background. How to volunteer for a hospice. Oh, here's a good one. Helping people to apply for Obamacare. Hopefully the website will be sorted out by then, but everyone's going to have to figure that one out. And, you know, if you're just fresh out of retreat, it might be even harder than it is for people who aren't. So I don't think anyone in there has insurance right now, so... That's going to be something that they're going to need a little bit of mentoring with. Let's see. I think that's pretty much it. So if you didn't get a copy of the handout, or if you want to do it online, it's www.tinyurl.com/reentry-angel. So that's the main part you have to remember, re-entry, R-E-E-N-T-R-Y dash angel. And if you or anyone else wants to help with any of this stuff, you can go on there, and it's a Google questionnaire, and it dumps into a spreadsheet, and it's really convenient because then we can just look at, see who wants to do what, and sort it all out really fast. Okay?
Could we link it to the Zen Mountain website?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Whenever that happens. And, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
We'll try to get it up on the Diamond Mountain website so you can just go to that one and find the survey.
Yeah. We should have it on the Diamond Mountain website soon, I hope. So does anyone have any questions or any comments? Or okay, then.
So the AICL program, they'll be sitting here with us? They won't be sequestered?
I believe they'll be sitting here with us at the April program, yeah. Because they're out of retreat then. Actually, I think even leading up to that, there's going to be a little bit more openness, and people, I think, they may invite their friends to come in into the Tsam. And then when I came out of retreat, I had a six-week period, and theirs will be longer, where a few people came to see me, and, you know, like, Earl came because he was my caretaker, and, you know, and Chuki came to visit me a few times, and just to sort of get used to being around people. So it won't be the first people that they've seen, hopefully, when, you know, walk into a room with 200 people or whatever. Anyone else? Yeah?
If I have an old computer or a phone to donate, would I send it here, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think so. Is that okay, Rob? Who's in charge of materials? Or maybe we could send it to the commissary and just pile them up somewhere. Don't make faces. We're asking for it.
No, I'm just trying to figure it out. I haven't had the question.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I haven't answered the question.
We'll probably, you know what? If you check that box, then we'll contact you.
Okay, sounds good.
It would probably have to be. It would come through down the mountain, yes. It would come here. So that when they came out, we'd have the computer to offer. So I would think you could send it to that mountain and we would keep it.
Yeah, I guess the commissary is okay.
We'll put them in your apartment.
Storage is a problem for us.
It is, yeah.
So maybe sending them closer to April?
Probably, yeah. Closer to the end would be better.
So we don't have to store them for months.
Yeah. Chuck, you had something to say, right?
Yeah. I thought maybe we could all experience a brief moment how the retrievers are going to feel when they encounter us and our love, venerable ignorance. We love you very, very much. And we're going to keep it really cool and gentle because we don't want to freak you out how much we love you.
Well, you know, I've been into the Tsam a couple times and it's just the opposite. They freak me out with how much love. Really, it's you're like, whoa. You get that too? you had something.
Yeah, what was the part you said where they're going to be? Did you say they're going to be cooking for some people here? Or?
That's the plan.
That got confusing.
That's the plan. They're going to be hosting the people who've been supporting them all this time, and they're going to be taking care of them. We'll see. Yeah.
I had a question. How long are they going to have to transition out?
Well, they're going to have 3 months altogether once the retreat is over. And some of them are planning to leave right away because they have family that, you know, they've been away from, and they don't want to be away from them anymore. And some of them are going to take a little more time. And then some of them are going to come and stay with us in our houses where we live and transition that way. Anyone else?
We love you. Thank you so much, ladies.
Sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, thanks.